are some parts in that song that if you pay close attention, they are really healing already. It's God's word in songs. That's why it's so important to have that kind of reminder. In my mind, it's really impressing when it's in the songs. So maybe that's why I am falling into the music. But that song says that things, time does not heal. You can wait a lot of time and you will never get healed. What heals is the God's word, and it's not only on the Bible. It's gonna heal you when you put it in your mind, when you really work it out to the point that you feel, you know, that love in your heart. It's available and it's there for us. And the other thing that it really impressed me when I heard that song, not the first time, because I've been hearing that song many, many times since 1976, I guess. But it was now that it hit my heart because I need it, all right? And I know that sometimes songs are like that. You just hear it, oh, yeah, I know. But then one moment say, wow, was that in that song or was that in here? So time does not heal and things don't last for always. So we just have to hold something that is lasting forever. What more than God's love and His word, okay? And the third thing I think I need to share with you before I start really into the in the word, bless your heart. Maybe I need to know a little bit of my past because I want you to feel what is deliverance or how can I express the principles I was applying there, okay? I spoke in tongues for the first time in my life on April 6th of 1974. Long time ago, hey? But don't ask the rest. Before that wonderful day that I knew I was born again. Maybe I was born again before, but that was the moment that I really knew I was born again. I saw in my life many blessings and great things from God. He was doing just for me. The same thing that I know you can think about things that God has done for you, just for you, right? To give you just two examples of that, my father sent me to Harrisburg, Mississippi to learn English, to improve my pronunciation, let's say like that. Which I couldn't do it, but anyways. But it just happened that in that little town of the south of the United States, there were ambassadors. And I got in touch with them. And I just, you know, I was asking questions, and then by the time I was interested in God's word, it was the time for me to go back to Venezuela. And I wanted to stay more. So I asked my parents if I could stay, and they told me, Hilarus, we missed you very much, so we'd like you to come back. So I did it. 2 weeks later, I received a letter from this ambassador, and he told me that just by coincidence, the only believer who was instructor in God's word, like we know, you know, took the Power for Abundant Living class in the whole South American continent, where you call that, was 10 minutes far from my house. So I guess God was trying to, hello, hello, hey. After April 1974, I saw more blessings and miracles happening around me. How a whole continent was hearing God's word rightly divided in their own language. You had the privileged people here to have the Power for Abundant class or the biblical principles since 1953. You know when it was available in Spanish? In 1975. 1 year after we started this time, you know, when I spoke in tongues and we were there, I was crazy about that. So we went out witnessing, and the only things that we did was two questions. Do you love God? And most of the people say yes. Do you speak English? Most of the people in my country say no. So, okay. So, do you love God? We were witnessing because we needed people to speak the language to get the class. But that wasn't available. Thanks God that we had the opportunity to listen. And let me tell you, that was a big, long class because we stopped the cassette. Wait, what is Dr. Wilbur saying there? Let's rewind and let's see what he's saying and this and that. We didn't get it, you know? It was hard for us. So the class that most of the time, or the sessions that you were sitting by, some of you, were 3 hours. For us, was like 7 hours. Right, because we had to stop it and rewind it and stop it and rewind it and see what else was going on. Okay? But praise God that we had the opportunity to then see how the Word of God was into Chile, Argentina, Ecuador, Venezuela, just because one small or little, whatever you want to say, ambassador took the time and effort and love to share God's word with me. And just because he followed up, he just didn't let me go there, he sent a letter. And because of that letter, all these things happening. It reminds me what Maria was sharing last night. She said that when one person in the body of Christ is healed, it affects the whole body. And that's true. Also, when you speak the word of God with only one person, it affects the whole world. You don't imagine how important it is for us to speak God's word. That's the greatest deliverance. We just learned that or heard that a few teachings ago, the greatest deliverance comes from God's word. And only that, if you share with one person and follow it up, you will never know how many things God has in his mind for that opportunity. So don't miss any opportunity. Well, coming back. But there is always a but. In 1980, when little scratches came to my life, and they were little compared to the word, you know, the word of God and all the blessings that I had been receiving. It's like looking at this glass. All the water that you see here are the blessings and miracles and wonders that I could see in my life. And the little thing that is not with water were the things that were happening in my life. That's the way it is in us. But we make such a big hue. Oh, I got hurt. Oh, this so-and-so, this. Oh, look at this you did. Maybe somebody was, you know, giving me so much love, but I just see the scare, the scratch. Look at this! It's a scratch here! That's what is happening. Well, because of those little scratches, I decided, or I took the decision of stepping away from believers and started to make crap in my life, I guess, or screw up, whatever you say. You understand, you know, just doing the wrong thing. Even though I was in the seventh corps and I had the greatest training that a person can have, I just put it away. And I got married with an unbeliever, believer or not, under the Catholic Church, believer or not. So, you could see how screwed I was, okay? But you know what? That's not new. The Bible tells us about this stupid behavior over and over and over again. Well, you want to see? One day, Bob was sharing with us the Old Testament, and we were laughing about Egypt. Oh, they are so, you know, they went back, and God made so many miracles here and there, and they were always doing that. But then he said, you may laugh at that, but that's what's happening in our minds. That kind of attitude in Egypt is our mind. We go back and forth. Oh, yes, we love God. We are great. And then we go on that situation. I just want to show you a few examples. I want you to go to Psalm 106. Salmos. I have to do it in English and in Spanish because there are some books that are not really understandable in Spanish, and I was helping then, so now I have to help you from here. Forgive me for that, okay? 106, and let's read some verses from there. Let me go there first. We're talking about that kind of things that we, Egypt did it, and we do it in our minds too, many, many times. Let's start with verse 7, 106 verse 7. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remember not the multitude of the mercies, but provoke him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. That's one of the many things that Egypt did. But there are more things, and you can think about many things that you have done into yourself in this kind of attitude, okay? 13, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. How many times have we been there that we forget things that God has done for us and we don't go to counsel or anything? It's just the same pattern. It's here for our learning. So if we take it through that light, then you receive more and God can give you more understanding on God's word, on his word. It's his business. Verse 21, they forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. How many times we forgot God who has done so many things in our lives? Not too different. 43. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. That's the way I felt, and I know that's the way so many times we can feel if we just go to the little scratch that is here and say, then I don't need this or whatever. We get so much on that trip. I was resentful and bitter to the point that when I saw Steve at the day in the war in October of 2001, I never imagined that I was going to be again meeting my brothers and sisters in the Corps. I never, ever imagined that when I came to New Jersey, I was going to be able to be in the world again like I am. My warm greeting to him was, listen, I just came to hear a little bit of God's word, but I don't want to get involved in anything, okay? I was so rude that I even avoid his hug. That's the rudeness I was. That was the bitter I had in my mind, in my whole behavior. And the sad thing is that I saw that behavior normal. You know why? Because I was so hard for such a long time, even though I was in the Seventh Corps, even though I had the greatest training in the whole world that you can think about, I was hard on myself. I destroyed myself like you won't believe it. But when I heard the manifestations just that day, when I was so rude to him, forgive me. I never remember if I asked forgiveness for that or if I said I'm sorry. When I heard the manifestations, I just cried like a baby. I couldn't stop. I felt home again. Now, in June 2005, people say to me, oh, how sweet, and I am loving, and you know how loving I am. Even my children did not recognize me when they saw me after 1 year. They had to stay in Venezuela for 1 year, and when they came, Ivan told Mariana, when he came in August 2002, I don't know what you have done to my mom. She's not the same. But don't change her. I like better now than when she was in Venezuela. People can see deliverance in my life and in your lives. And you can feel that deliverance as well as I felt in my life. The reason I was so bitter is that I was refusing God's love, grace, and mercy. I decided to forget God's blessings. And as years passed, I felt more and more condemned. Does it seem familiar to you? Here are some principles I want to share from the word that literally saved my physical life. I wasn't having cancer. I wasn't having any sickness. That is worse. This kind of condemnation and things that you have in your heart, it tears you apart. It breaks your heart more than any sicknesses, I guess. I want you to go to Romans 8:1. Romanos, that was easy. Romans 8, and verse 1. And all we need to do is to work this in our minds. And once you are convinced in your mind, it will manifest to the rest of your, you know, the world. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is one thing, Christ in us, and another thing, we in Christ. Notice that in this verse doesn't say there is no condemnation for those who have Christ in them. Because we have perfection in there. Christ in us is everything. We are completely, completely, completely complete. But we in Christ is our walk, is our daily renewing mind to be in Christ. Whenever we are condemning ourselves, do you know whose will we are doing? The devil's. Look at Revelations, Apocalypsis 12. I want you to show you something that really blessed me so much and helped me to get out of this kind of trip I had in my mind. Revelations 12. And in verse 10, we're going to read the last part of that verse. It says, let's read the whole thing anyways. Number 10, 12, 10, it says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuse them before our God day and night. Day and night. Satan is described here as the accuser who accuses people before God day and night. Jesus Christ has already triumphed over the adverse principalities and powers. Any accusation that Satan might take against those whom God has justified in Christ Jesus would be unfounded. So, if we are dwelling on any accusation, who is the author of that? What is the will of God? It always comes to a simple decision. Whose will do we want to do? And then move and act on it. It's not just, okay, I'm going to do God's will and then you... No, if you're going to do God's will, you know what he's doing? Love others, serve others, walk, talk the word. That's doing God's will. So move and act. That's what I had to do. Joe Wanstrom shared one day about the difference between Judas and Peter, reactions and results, why one get deliverance and the other didn't. And that shook a lot of crap that I had in my mind. And you know what? Deliverance begins where the battle is, in the mind. So the first place you have to work is your mind and your thoughts. Let's compare Judas and Peter in some aspects. Look at John 13. John chapter 13. Verse 21. John 13:21, it says, when Jesus has thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Here, Jesus is letting Judas know he knew what Judas' plans were. Jesus was giving Judas a loving opportunity to abort his plans. That is grace. We're talking about grace. That is grace. Let's read verse 26. Jesus answered, It is he to whom I shall give a sup when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sup, he he gave it to Judas of Iscariot, the son of Simon. Here, Jesus appeals to the innermost heart, the rock-bottom soul of Judas. Once more, Jesus more firmly appealed to Judas. The morsel of bread was given to the most beloved person at Jesus' table. Throughout the events of the meal, Jesus was striving to get Judas to change his mind. But the true God and his wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, will not force you to change your mind. Let me repeat that. He will not force you to change your mind. God doesn't do that. He respects us in our freedom of will. You have to change it. It's our job. Look at Matthew 27. Let's go to the Gospel of Matthew. In chapter 27 and verse 3. Matthew 27, verse 3. It says, then Judas, which had betrayed him, he did it anyways. He went out in the night, he did it. When he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. Judas repented, but you know what? He didn't move away. He didn't move on. He repented. He didn't receive God's grace. He refused it. God's word teaches that Judas of Iscariot not only was alive all the time of the crucifixion, but he saw the resurrected Christ and was also an eyewitness of Christ's ascension. Why couldn't he receive deliverance? Because he, by his freedom of will, decided to refuse God's grace. He had the same requisites that was for the all apostles. They had to be an eyewitness for the Lord Jesus Christ. They had to be in all the events. They had to be trained by Jesus Christ. He did all these requisites, but he just refused God's grace. Now, let's see Peter. Let's look at John 13. Let's go to Gospel of John. And verse 36. John 13, 36. It says, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go or whither, I don't know what's the pronunciation there, you just read it with me. Thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterward. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Will thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. The common teaching has been that Peter denied his Lord three times. The Bible teaches he denied Jesus six times. Let us look at Peter after the sixth denial to see Peter's reaction when he realized his shortcomings. Let's go to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, and in verse 73, 26, 73. Where? Is it? I don't have the 73 here. You have it? Because I am in 27, right? You're right. No wonder. 26:73 says, and after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrays thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remember the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crew, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Both Judas and Peter went out, but one of them, Judas, into the night. And the other, Peter, went out and wept bitterly. Sometimes we have to go out by ourselves on our, what I call, walking, talking. It's not walkie-talkie, it's walking, talking. You walk and talk to God, and those are the greatest conversations you can ever have, really. And talk to your father, or my father, our father. Peter walked out and wept bitterly. Peter recognized his mistakes and was sorry. Peter accepted God's grace and moved on to the point that he could stand before the thousands at the temple and lift up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. What a change. But because he wanted to move, because he sorrowed, he forgot, and he moved. That's what I saw in my life too. Sometimes I was like Judas, praise God I didn't kill myself, but I felt like Judas, you know, oh yeah, I don't want this, and I don't need, and I just, da, 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 whatever. But then you have the other side. That's what I call this deliverance or not deliverance. But who decides? We, God already always wants us to be delivered. The final decision is on your side, guys. You want to be delivered, you have to decide that you have to move on that. When you feel God's deliverance, you can't do anything else but move on his grace and love. It's a joy to give and serve because you are thankful, and that brings more deliverance, which makes a virtuous cycle. More giving, more service, more deliverance. And it keeps going. Then you get delivered, then you are more thankful, then you give more, and then you get all that. That's what I feel so great when I am with you. It's a great pleasure and joy to serve, to give, to love, because I know what I have been through. And God delivered me. I can't tell you about this. We have the, well, I have to put here the stress in the different places, but you take the right one, okay? I have the assurance. Assurance or assurance that God is able to deliver us in all things. We have that in the tables, Psalms 34:4. Maritza, can you read that for me, please? Psalms 34:4, everybody can see it. We have it all over the places. We have that guarantee that God is going to deliver us. And if God doesn't change, if God is not a liar, if God is not a son of man to be repented, why can't we have it? It's all our decision. It's all on us. So Maritza, please read it loud. How many fears?
All.
Let's go to Psalm 62. We're going to see some others. Psalms 62. Okay, let's read verse 1. It says, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. Number 6, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Here we can go to number 11. God had spoken once. Twice have I heard this. That power belong unto who? God. And who is God? Our Father. Who? We as parents always like the best for our kids. Think about that. God wants the best for us. We are his kids. Beautiful. Let's go to 144 here in Psalms. Psalms 144. verse 2. 144 verse 2. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdue my people under me. Who do you think he's talking about? God is all, was all this to David. David was a servant. He could be in and out. We are sons and daughters. We never can be out. We always are going to be in. Think about that. Let's go to Romans 8. All we need to do is to work in our mind. But once you are having something in your mind that is from God's word, do it. Act on that. And you will see deliverance, and you will see people around you also being delivered. And there is no greater joy to see that people are delivered, that you are delivered. It's great. Romans 8, 37. Through 39 says, nay, we have mentioned a lot of things that could get us away from God's love, away from his deliverance. But in 37 says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. And you know what? In order to conquer, what do you need to do? Fight. I haven't seen any conqueror that haven't been able in a battle. The battle is in our mind, and if we want to be conquerors, we have to fight. And we have all the tools that we need to fight that battle and to win. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor hate. And that things to come is also the computers. I was thinking, well, Paul is so clever. God is so good. He just set us to whatever comes. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's the most modern car or this and that, nothing can. Okay, well, it's written 39. Nor hate, nor death, nor any of the creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What I have learned in all this that I have been happening in my life lately is that we have to recognize our shortcomings, but don't allow them to condemn you. There is no right on that. We have to recognize that we need help. And when it comes, please accept it. Don't refuse God's grace. And once you are delivered, move God's word. I'd like to finish with some scriptures that had helped me a lot on this on daily basis. Let's go to Psalms. Psalms 126. Verse 3. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. He had done a lot of things like this, glass. Don't remember this. Remember the great things he has done for us. And then we are glad. 143. Psalms 143. And this is my pray to God all the time. I just want to share this with you. 143 verses 8 through 10. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of righteousness. God bless you.